Psalm chapter 95. David says again at verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your mercies and grace. And Lord, again, just for another day alive, knowing that it was nothing short of your mercy that woke us up this morning, Lord. And again, we declare great is your faithfulness. And Lord, we again ask that you would bless this week. Many will celebrate Thanksgiving, Lord, with family and friends. But let us also be mindful that we are to give thanksgiving to you also, Lord, above all things. And we thank you above all things for the sending of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came freely, Lord, and willingly went to the cross that he would save sinners. And forever we, those who name the name of Christ, be thankful for what you have done in our hearts and our soul in the grace of salvation. And we pray even this morning that even one would be drawn into thy kingdom, Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, bless thy word this morning. For we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to talk to you this morning about a Thanksgiving reminder. Okay? No, not so much to remind you that Thanksgiving Day is on Thursday. Okay? But that we should not forget to give thanks unto God as you celebrate Thanksgiving, and for the matter to give thanks unto God every day, not just once a year, but every day. And as you gather with your families, with your friends, and you sit around the table Thursday, I hope that you will indeed lift up your hearts with gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving to the God of heaven and earth for all his blessings, his mercies that are freely bestowed upon us, and therefore seek opportunity to lead your family and others with a heart full of thanksgiving unto the living and true God. I know that on Thursday, the entire nation will celebrate a day of thanksgiving. But the question sometimes I ask, will it be unto God? And I realize that most people on Thursday, it's a day of more of a celebration and very little of thanksgiving. And that is really great pity when you think about it. And I say this because most people on Thursday will be occupied with football, with a turkey, with games, and so many other things. And I'm not saying those things are bad in of themselves. That's not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand me, okay? You know, because I'm going to try and enjoy my turkey and all that. But what I'm saying is that let us not forget to give thanks unto God. That is the most important thing. Oh, to God that in this nation that man would lift up their heads and their hearts to give God thanksgiving and praise. But I basically know that that would not happen, because where there is really no true faith in Christ, there would be no true thanksgiving to God. But we are told in verse 2 of our text that we are to come before his presence with what? With thanksgiving. And not just, as I said, once a year, but every day. Just the fact that you woke up this morning, you're able to breathe air freely, to be able to walk. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Now, please understand that not all holidays begin with its original commencement, giving unto God all the glory and honor with a heart full of thanksgiving and praise. But I'm thankful that this one does. And we'll see that in a moment. But I do want to remind you that the Bible is full of verses constantly reminding us not to be murmuring and complaining, but to be in the spirit of thanksgiving. Psalm 105:1 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Psalm 106:1, Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. I mean, I am thankful that we do have a national holiday that has its root in our pilgrim forefathers, which we have served as a nation as Thanksgiving, which is always the last Thursday of November. Again, I don't think this is a religious holy day. No, it is a national holiday, giving thanks to God. Again, it's not just once a year, but should be a daily devotion embedded in the depths of our heart, because true thanksgiving is always in season. Every child of Adam living upon the earth ought to lift his heart to heaven, towards God, giving thanks to God for his goodness, for his mercies. In Psalm 92:1, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto his name, O Most High." And there's no better way to move our hearts to thanksgiving than by lifting our voices with songs of praise and songs of thanksgiving. Our songs should be filled with our praise and blessings toward God because of his wondrous works. Even as we're told there in Psalm 26:7, it says, "That I might publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works." I love what it says there also in Colossians 3:16-17, where we are reminded, where Paul writes, says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing you one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in deed or word, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Lord and the Father by him." And so we should always be conscious of this fact that even when we look at the providence of God, that he oversees everything, that every event, any act, any blessing, or even any judgment, any promise, any joy, even sorrow, I mean, all under the umbrella of God's providential work in our life, that we should be mindful of this fact and acknowledge it and come and praise him with a heart full of thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30 says, "I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving." So may our hearts be filled not only with joy and their tongues seasoned with grace, that we might be able to give thanksgiving unto God. And as I said, not just one day, but every day of our lives. As a matter of fact, we are reminded by Paul there in Philippians 4, where we're told, "Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, what shall we say? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So there's so many verses that teach us, that show us that we should be what? Giving thanks to God for all things, every day. For all things. But sadly, we sometimes find ourselves murmuring and complaining. No, 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 no. But it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." I love this verse because it tells us that we are to give thanks to God in everything. Why? Because this is the will of God. And the people ask me, "Pastor Joe, I don't know what the will of God is for my life." Well, can you start with thanking God? At least start there. Because that's what we must do. We have great cause to give thanks to God. Especially those of us who have put our trust in the grace of salvation in Christ. We must be what? Content with him, with his wise and good providence. And if we are truly content and not murmuring and complaining, then we are to have a thankful heart for all things, knowing what? That all things come from God, good or bad. Again, thanksgiving is always in season. And we should all lift up our hearts to God, to heaven, giving thanks for his great mercy. Thanksgiving is always, again, in season for all men. But I think that if you and I are partakers of Christ, if we are truly saved by his grace, if we are heirs of eternal life, our hearts should always be filled with thanksgiving unto God. Continually. We are to constantly give thanks to him in all things and for all things. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God." And then I love the word there in Colossians 1, where Paul reminds us of our salvation and what Christ did for us in saving our souls. But I love the way he begins. He says there in Colossians 1, 12 to 14, the Holy Spirit gives us several specific reasons why we should be a thanksgiving people. It says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So yes, the child of God has every reason to be thankful. And again, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every single day. Colossians 3, 5 or 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And so Paul admonishes, as David does in the Psalm and other places in the Bible, that we are to be a thankful people, because thanksgiving, again, is the will of God. It is a blessing to be able to live in peace in this world. And that we are to freely give thanks unto our God. What a blessing. And no doubt, this is most honoring and glorifying to God. As one person puts it, he says, quote, the natural man may express thanksgiving for what he has in his hand, but the believer is thankful for what he has in his heart, and that he has Christ, even if he has nothing in his hand. Unquote. That is so true. Again, because the blessings of grace freely bestowed upon us in Christ, it should cause us to always be thankful to God. And if you're in Christ this morning, let us then be thankful for our salvation and the glorious redemption we have in Christ. Some of you might have this book by William Law, entitled A Serious Call to Devout and Holy Life. And he writes and he says, quote, would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts the most. It is not he who gives the most alms. It is not he who gives the most tithes, or is the most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. No, but he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God willeth, and receiveth everything as an instant of God's goodness, and has a heart ready to praise God for it. Unquote. This is so true. Maybe this is what it means that we are to have a spirit-filled life that begins with thanksgiving, because Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verses 2 to 18, says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to always be in the business of giving thanks unto God. One of the stories that blesses me there is in 1 Corinthians, when the Lord had blessed them with a glorious victory. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Chronicles. I realize I said 1 Corinthians. 1 Chronicles. But God had given David a blessed victory. And I love what he does. He brings everybody together. And in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 1 and 2, it says, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent. And David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Drop down to verse 7. In verse 7 it says, then on that day David delivered this first psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon, the first thing he tells them was, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous work. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength and his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. And drop down to verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I mean, what a blessed chapter where David reminds us and commands the people to what? That we must be in the business again of giving thanks unto God. Why? Because this is our constant duty, to always be thankful before him continually. And again, I remind you, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. because every day really is a day of thanksgiving unto God. Allow me just to give a short history about our national holiday. And before I do, let me also just say that it seemed that every year some people write articles that want to disprove the myth of Thanksgiving Day. In some of these articles, they write about that the Pilgrims were not the first people in America to hold a Thanksgiving. They write that the first Thanksgiving had no religious significance at all. It was just a harvest festival. And that our traditional Thanksgiving dinner has nothing in common with the Pilgrim's meal. Well, of course, the reason behind these articles is a deception in order to devalue the religious nature of our present Thanksgiving holiday. This is unfortunate since Thanksgiving is one of the few holidays on the American calendar that is not swept away with commercialism and mixed with all kinds of pagan elements involved. Now, how did it come to be the first Thanksgiving? Some that I share now is copied. But it is true that we can say the Pilgrims were not the first to observe Thanksgiving Day. And it's true that this day was not always a, the first day was not always a day that involved feasting. But as far as we know in the history of America, that the first Thanksgiving observance of America was truly a spiritual, but it was a spiritual affair. Its stated object was the worship of God in Thanksgiving, because on December 4th, in the year 1619, a group of 38 English settlers arrived in Berkeley Plantation, that is known now as Charles City, Virginia. The group's charter required that the day of arrival should be observed yearly as a day of thanksgiving to God. Captain John Woodleaf held the service of Thanksgiving, and the Charter of Berkeley Plantation specified the Thanksgiving service. He said, quote, "We," the way it's spelled is funny, "we ordain that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned for the plantation in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God." Right. In addition to 1619, the colonists perhaps helped service in 1620, 1621. But sadly, the colony was wiped out in 1622. But the next famous pilgrim Thanksgiving will share. But again, modern perverters of American history tell us that the Pilgrims first came to this land to seek fortune in the New World. That's not why they came to this land. They came to this land to escape persecution, to escape religious persecution. See, we don't know anything about that in this country, because God has blessed us, and I'm thankful that God has blessed us with religious freedom. But I can assure you, you go read history, the first 1700 years of the church, it's a bloody history. Much, much intense persecution. And so these pilgrims came not to seek some rich lands or whatever. They came because of religious persecution in Europe. They escaped persecution in Europe. So the pilgrims that first came to this land, again, they did not seek fortune in this new world. And this would even be news to the first pilgrims themselves. But we know the leader was William Bradford. He wrote in his diary that the voyage was motivated on the Mayflower by a great hope of advancing the kingdom of Christ. That's why they came here. The Pilgrim landed at Plymouth Rock on December 11, 1620. The first winter, you should know by now, was very devastating. Weakened by a seven-week crossing and the need to establish housing, many came down with pneumonia. Many died. And they started to die one per day, two per day, three per day. And what they would do, they would dig the graves at night so the Indians would not see them burying their people. Okay? So they would not see that their numbers would be dwindling. But at some point, there was only a few people. Some said there was only seven people that were able to fetch food, make fires, and care for the sick. By that spring, they had lost 46 of the 102 that had sailed on the Mayflower. But the harvest of 1621 was a bountiful one. And the remaining colonists decided to celebrate with a feast, an attempt to put God out of society and out of our thinking. Educators, the news, entertainment media, vote-seeking politicians tell us that the first Thanksgiving Day was not a Thanksgiving Day to God, but a day of celebration. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, it was a day of great celebration precisely, but it was a day of great celebration unto God. A day of thanksgiving to God. Edward Winslow wrote, on December 11, 1621, they celebrated the goodness of God in providing them. And it said that the feast was held so that they, quote, might after a special manner rejoice together. This sounds like a Thanksgiving feast to me. Granted, they did feast together. Remember, they even invited the Indian friends to join them to a true feast. Now, the pilgrims' first Thanksgiving feast was not repeated the following year. But in the third year, many of them have been so preoccupied with cultivating the land, building their houses, planting extra corn, doing those things necessary, trading with the Indians. But they were stricken with a long, devastating, prolonged drought. Week after week, no rain. Until the Indians had no recollection. As a matter of fact, they said the Indians had no recollection of such a drought ever happening. And the sun blasted the corn. It would wither. It became dry. The ground became so hard, cracked open, that it was so sad. Some said that the heavens were still as the brass. Finally, in July, Governor Bradford, he took a council of the men in the colony. And it was obvious that God was withholding the rain for a season. Bradford declared a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. And when they gathered together in their church building, they began to search their own hearts. And it turned out that these saints had things to repent for. Their spiritual pride, their jealousy, their vindictiveness, their greed, the number of broken relationships. One after another, they became convicted that they asked God's forgiveness and that of their fellow pilgrims. And then what followed was the tender, peaceful spirit grew among them and was enhanced each passing hour. By that afternoon, as they were walking out of the doors, the sky, which the morning had been so hard and clear, was now covered with clouds all around them. The following morning, it began to rain. And it rained for 14 straight days. Writing of it, William Bradford says, quote, "It came without either wind, thunder, or any violence, and by degrees of the abundance as the earth was..." It's in no broken English. I read this already once to make sure I didn't have problems. I still have problems. But the earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which so apparently revived and quickened the decayed corn and other fruit, which was wonderful to see, as made the Indians astonished to behold. And afterward the Lord sent them such seasonal showers with interchange of fair, warm weather, as though his blessings caused a fruitful and liberal harvest with no small comfort of rejoicing, unquote. And thus, the harvest that fall, again, was so abundant that it ended in a surplus, the benefit given much to the Indians. And to everybody's delight, the governor decided, let us set a day for Thanksgiving. Again, inviting the Indian neighbors to join them. So another day of Thanksgiving, June 29, 1676. Well, in June of 1676, another day of Thanksgiving was proclaimed. The governing council in Charleston, Massachusetts, had a meeting to determine what the best way to thank for victories in war with the heathen natives of the land and the good fortune and community they had secured and established. And by unanimous vote, they instructed Edward Wasson, the clerk, to proclaim June 29 as a day of Thanksgiving. This is part of the proclamation. Quote, the council has sought to me to appoint to set apart the 29th day of June as the day of solemn thanksgiving and praise to God for such with goodness and favor. It's a long quote. I want to stop there. But it concludes that we must live in service to God, by Jesus Christ, unquote. The whole idea, it was, again, the aspect of a understanding that God must be thanked, giving thanks for everything that was going on. Now, during the colonial times, Thanksgiving was observed by many of them. By 1777, it was the first time that all 13 colonists joined together in a Thanksgiving celebration. It lasted 8 days. And then President George Washington proclaimed a National Day of Thanksgiving in 1789, which he called for a day of prayer, giving thanks to God. Can you imagine a president doing that now? He called for a day of prayer and thanksgiving to God, which the Democrats of the day would have thrown a royal fit, but that's besides the point. But that day was to be celebrated by all religious denominations. And so it continued. Of course, not everybody was excited. Later on, President Thomas Jefferson, who was a deist, he scoffed at the idea of having a thanksgiving unto God. But the question is, how did the Thanksgiving celebration or day become a national practice? It was by a lady by the name of Sarah Josepha Hale. And she was the one that everybody should know this in this room. She was the one that wrote the little song, Mary Had a Little Lamb. So everybody knows who she is now. Anyway, she was also a magazine editor, and she eventually led to what became Thanksgiving Day. She had written many articles in her Boston magazine, but of course she was so full of trying to get it to pass that we would have a national holiday. She was so fired with the determination that the whole nation should join together as a national day to give thanksgiving unto him to whom all blessings flow. In 1830, New York proclaimed Thanksgiving Day as an official Thanksgiving Day. Other states followed suit. 1852, same thing followed. Now there's 29 states that are doing it. But after a 40-year campaign, this became a reality for Sarah. For in 1863, President Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November as National Day of Thanksgiving and Praise to our Beneficent Father. Here is what Lincoln said in the proclamation, quote, we have been the recipient of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our heart that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that has made us. It behooves us to humble us, to humble ourselves before the offended God, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness, unquote. And therefore, April 30, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln proclamation of the National Day of Fasting and Humiliation and Prayer. The day was changed only once by President Roosevelt, who moved the fourth Thursday of November to the third one, in order to create a stronger Christmas shopping season. But there was public uproar against this, and it was moved back to the fourth Thursday in its original state as we have it today. The fourth and the last Thursday of November. But again, understand that Thanksgiving did not originate with the president Lincoln's declaration of the holiday, or even with the pilgrims feasting with the Native Americans, because God's people has always been taught to give him thanks, to give thanks to him for who he is, for his mercy, again, for his goodness, for his holiness, for all his wondrous work, particularly, again, his goodness and mercy, giving thanks unto him, and all the honor and all the glory. So Thursday, as we gather with our families to observe this one that I hope I can say truly spiritual national holiday, let us make sure we give thanks unto God as we seek to celebrate both his character and his wondrous deeds of providence and grace, especially his wondrous deeds of redemption in Christ. And let us begin to do so even today by giving thanks to God for all things and at all times. Just consider these few psalms real quickly again. Psalm 34. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 105, 1, 2, 3. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms, talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice to seek the Lord. But, O give thanks unto the Lord. We already read Psalm 106, 1, Psalm 107, 1, Psalm 118, 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. And to those of you who name the name of Christ, I'll give you a few reasons to give thanks to God. To be thankful for your redemption by the precious blood of Christ. To be thankful for the pardon and forgiveness of sin. What a blessing to be redeemed and forgiven. To be thankful for God's adopting grace. Again, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God or the sons of God. To be thankful for the Spirit's effectual, irresistible, regenerating grace in our lives when he saved us, because of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. Yes, thank God. We got so many reasons to be thankful to our God. Be thankful for the blessed victory that is ours in grace through Jesus Christ. What we're told again in 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be unto God, which giveth the victory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Christ we triumph. We triumph over our enemies, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil himself. If we belong to God, we shall not fail in this warfare. We shall persevere because he preserves us by his grace. And one day we shall be delivered from the body of death, and our very body will be delivered from the grave. Therefore, be ye thankful. Again, as we gather with the families around the tables on Thursday, let us lift up our hearts with gratitude, with praise, with thanksgiving to the Lord for all his blessings of grace, his providence, so beautiful and bountifully bestowed upon us in Christ. As I bring my message to a close, let me just read some verses in Psalm 107. And then conclude in Psalm 103, and I'll make some application there. Both of these psalms, Psalm 103, Psalm 107, they're the language of a man whose soul has been so stirred up to praise his God by his contemplation of God's goodness to him, and reminds us to always be what? Full of thanksgiving. Amen. Turn to Psalm 107 quickly. Psalm 107. Again in verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So every time I say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so,
his mercy endureth forever.
We're going to change it this morning. So when I say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, y'all are going to repeat, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Got it? Amen? Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Woo, I like that. Amen. Yes, amen. We see that in verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 8 and 9. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. Verse 15. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. Drop down to verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
We got it. Amen. Verse 31, 32. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen and amen. Now turn to Psalm 103. We know this psalm. We sing it. I repeat it often. I quote it often. But we're going to read the first five verses. Again, in Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." What does it say? "And forget not all his benefits." God has given us so many benefits, so many blessings. And here, he's going to name at least five. Verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles." Wow. Man, what a blessing. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." This is where thanksgiving must begin, right here. Because God's name represents who he is in his attributes. One writer said, quote, "Before we can thank God for his blessings, we must thank him for his being. This is what the psalmist commands us to do." Unquote. This is so true. It is the Lord himself who is to be blessed and well spoken of, to be extolled, to be praised, to be exalted and blessed. We are to bless and praise his holy name. Because his holy name embraces every attribute of God's person and God's nature. We are to bless God and thank God for who he is. For he is the Lord God Almighty. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
Yes, he's the Lord God Almighty who is full of grace and truth. Notice that in verse 1, we see that it is my soul. It is with my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, where am I to praise God? That is with everything within me in our blessing to the Lord our God. In other words, everybody look up here. Before that thanksgiving and blessing comes forth from our lips and our tongues, it begins in the heart. It begins in the soul. This is what David is telling us. David stirs up his soul to bless God because praise arises not, it does not begin at the lips, nor our brains, but from our souls, our heart, from our innermost being. And then it finally flows to our tongues and our lips in praising and thanksgiving to our great God. Then verse 2, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And of course, one of the ways to stir up our souls is to bless the Lord and recalling all his benefits of his mercy, his goodness, his blessings, which we have personally experienced. One writer also makes this point. He says, quote, "One of the evidences of our depravity is our horrible tendency of forgetting blessings experienced. Whether in times of failure or success, we tend to overlook the blessings our God has lavished upon us." Unquote. Therefore, the psalmist tells us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
Then in verses 3, 4, and 5, David mentions five specific blessings bestowed to his own soul, which he had personally experienced. And by recalling these benefits, he what? He stirs up his soul to bless the Lord. To bless the Lord. He says, the first one, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." What can I say? What a joy, what a blessing that all my iniquities, that all my sins are forgiven. Our God is a God of forgiveness. The Bible says he is ready to pardon. If you outside Christ, come to him. He's ready to forgive you. Because our God is the God of forgiveness. To think that God has forgiven me all my sins. God's forgiveness of our sins is continual. It's a perpetual act of grace through the blood of Christ. So, what about you this morning? Can you say like David this morning? Can you say the same thing? Can you even say like what he said in Psalm 32 when he said, "Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Remember, even it's repeated in Romans 4. Because blessed is the man unto whom you will not want impute sin. If you can, like David, can you clearly confess that your sins are forgiven? Then you have good reason to bless the Lord your God and to offer thanksgiving unto God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
The second thing David mentions is, who healed all thy diseases. That person is a blessed man of whom God has bestowed good health, who has been healed of his sicknesses. Truly blessed of God. But I will say that I believe that within the context, he's not talking so much of our physical body, but he's talking about our spiritual health. Okay? Our spiritual diseases. Okay? Because none of us will be healed of our spiritual diseases until we bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and come to him for salvation. Right. You see, all those who are forgiven our sins are also healed in their soul of all their diseases, and they're restored and reconciled unto God. He has given us new spiritual life. We are forgiven and cleansed in our souls by the precious blood and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Lord,
then the third thing that David mentions to us, why would you be in the business of blessing and thanking a God? He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You see, our redemption of Christ is the cause of our forgiveness of our sins and regeneration. What a joy to know that we are not only redeemed from our sins, but we are also redeemed, that is, delivered from a future judgment and destruction.
Yes.
In other words, what a blessing to have eternal life. Yes, just for that we ought to be giving thanks unto God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Okay.
Just to think that I have eternal life.
Amen.
To come with a voice of thanking, rejoicing, praising the blood. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love what it says there in Hebrews 9:12. It says, neither by blood of goats, but by his own blood he entered into the place once, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. Not temporary redemption, no, eternal redemption. Forever and ever and ever. And you can end another ever and another ever and ever, and it never runs out because you can always end an ever. It's an eternal redemption. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Thanks to the Lord.
Titus 3:7, that being justified by faith, which we made heirs according to what? The hope of eternal life. 1 John 5:3, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. So what a blessing to want to have eternal life. So let us come again with that voice of thanksgiving, rejoicing, praising, blessing our God for these blessed spiritual benefits. Do you have eternal life this morning? Fourthly, David mentions next, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. You know, we sing often in Revelation 5, and we're reminded there that Christ has made us kings in praise unto God. In other words, he has crowned us as kings with God's constant favor over us, with his love, his tender mercy, loving kindness upon us. And thus, I believe I can say, like my brother David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the crown and honor that God gives to all his redeemed people. It is the crown of glory that we shall wear forever and ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And fifthly, the fifth thing that David mentions is, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so the youth is renewed like eagles. I don't know about you, I speak for myself. I am fully satisfied with God. And I know that nothing but the gracious favor of God in Christ can satisfy my soul. Only Christ can satisfy the needs of my soul. Only Christ can satisfy the desires of my soul. It is Christ and Him alone that satisfies my soul continually and promises to even renew my youth like the eagles. He's speaking of a glorious long life. He's talking about eternal heavenly life. You see, the eagle may live more than 100 years old. And even as old as they are, this old eagle, these birds, they soar gracefully in the heavens where they feel at home. But here on earth, we are like babes in the womb. Because true life for the believer begins at death. When I die, then I will truly live. Remember, I often remind you also that if you're a believer in Christ, that the best day of your life is the day of your death, because you'll be immediately ushered into the glory of God. And what does Paul tell us there in Philippians 1:21? For me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Yes, even after we die, are translated to heaven to glory. Guess what we'll be doing in heaven also? Giving thanks to God. Yes. Notice what it says there in Revelation 7. I read it to you. It says, and after this I behold, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth in the heavens and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders, the four beasts fell down upon the throne on their faces and worship God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. It will not stop. So make sure you have thankful people here on earth, so when you're translated to heaven, you still be thanking God.
Right.
So if you're a child of God, again, make sure you are always in the business of thanking God. My. But for the meantime in our Christian walk, again, it should always be seasoned with thanksgiving to God. And what a blessing to think that I would be renewed like eagles. Isaiah 40:31, it says, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Because even in old age, we can praise and bless our God and give Him thanks. For Psalm 92 tells us, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Amen and amen. And so, my dear ones, Thanksgiving Day is more than just turkey and football games. It is about giving thanks unto God for all the honor and glory. And we are to be filled with hearts of thanksgiving every day. Again, Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. What thankful hearts. My. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
And this is our constant duty. To always be thankful to God. Continually. And so let us remember this again. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. Because every day really is a Thanksgiving Day for the child of God. Thanksgiving is always in season. And we should all be in the business of giving Him thanks. My. So let us then be thankful for His mercy. Again, His goodness, His compassion, His tender kindness, His forgiveness. In other words, we are to give Him thanks. For all things. For all things. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen and amen. Let's pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, and O my soul, let us not forget. Forget not all His benefits. Oh God, let us be thankful for everything. Let us be thankful even just for the air that we breathe. Yes. For the sun, for the rain. Yea, for your goodness. Yes, to be thankful for good health. Yea, Lord, just for being alive. Being thankful for your grace of salvation, for forgiveness of sins. Lord, there's so many things to be thankful for. For your goodness, your compassions, your loving kindnesses, your mercies, your bountiful blessings upon us. And as David has proclaimed, let us not forget, let us not forget all your benefits, and be always blessing, praising your holy name with full of thanksgiving. And so let us even now come before your presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise and offer unto thee that sacrifice of thanksgiving, declaring all your blessings and thank you for who you are. And above all, again, we thank you for your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our salvation. Oh, Heavenly Father, so many things to be thankful. Let us be a thanksgiving people. Again, not just Thursday, Lord, but every day for all things. As your word declares, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So let us therefore give thanks always, for all things, for everything, unto thee, O God. For we ask all this in the blessed and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Please stand and let's sing there in Psalm 119.